Hello, friends. Welcome once again to the Perfect Bound Podcast. This is a podcast all about anything and everything comic books and comics related, brought to you by the Panel Jumper and Comic Extension. My name is Ben. With me, as always, is Chris Casso.
Hello.
Cole Hornaday.
Hello, friends and neighbors.
And Nicole Lamb.
Howdy, neighbor.
How is everybody?
I don't know.
Oh, where are you on the dial tonight? Are you AM, FM? Yeah?
Satellite. Yeah. It's a cold one here in Seattle, Washington.
It is. I'm uncomfortable. I might have to put on my coat.
Do it.
I'm a wiener.
It's I still don't have to turn the heat on in my apartment yet, but I'm getting close. I live in an apartment building, and so I have like the radiant heat from everybody else who lives around me.
That's the benefit of those.
Yeah.
I live in a hobbit hole, so it's underground, so I have to put the heat on. Otherwise, there's going to be mold on them windows.
Oh, yeah. Yes. All right, well, this is, if you can believe it, friends, episode 150.
Shucky dams, are you kidding me?
G, 150. We're going to have to do something special when we hit 200. I don't know what's going to be.
I think we should be doing something
special. We'll start over.
150.
We'll start over to number one again.
We'll start over at number one.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Well, we'll
yeah, you do.
We'll start at
That's
number zero to
you
just
do.
Preview what we're going to be doing. All right. So this is
more fanfare happening.
This is
a lot of work.
Yeah, we'll just have a lenticular cover. That's it.
We will have a lenticular cover. Yeah. This is the last week of the year, so this is going to be our year in review episode. What happened in 2017 that interested us? What were the biggest stories? What were the biggest surprises? Any game changers out there? And what are our favorite comics? So stay tuned for all of that. I have some stories that I pulled from the last year's show sheets that I'm just going to briefly mention. Maybe you have them on your list as well. One of the things that happened in 2017 is the establishment of the nonprofit umbrella that owns Comic Extension, C4C3.org.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Or I didn't include it as a subject.
We're so deep in it right now. It's like it's gone on forever.
We even had Scott Tomlin on the show to talk about it, which was great. We should have him back.
Yes,
he's got a good radio voice.
He's got a great voice. I love it.
Yeah, he's actually been on the BJ Shea show for the BJ show.
I saw that.
BJ Shea show.
The BJ show?
Bajuju's show. Whatever. the past couple weeks, doing some quick spots, reviewing some comics.
Yeah.
And BJ's thing is called Geek Nation, I believe.
Yes.
Which is crazy because I remember listening to BJ Shea like 15 years ago when he was on The Buzz 100.7 FM. Back before that was a country music station, it was a talk station. All right, one of the other things that that happened in the last year was Make Mine Marvel launching with legacy numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
How did that happen? How did that turn out? Upon reflection.
For us, it seems like not many people cared. We took care of our box customers. If you were getting Black Panther number 22, you got Black Panther number 166 next.
Yep.
And they were just like, okay, that's a thing, whatever.
And then people would come in and go like, how's Legacy going? What's something I should pick up? And we're like, but it's in the middle of storylines. There's no, it's not a thing.
Yeah.
Well, they had the standalone issues where they had one character from the present
time travel.
Yeah.
Those are generations. That was another confusing thing.
Nobody understood why that happened.
Yeah.
Do you guys understand why that happened?
Not until the last issue.
And it
wasn't like well connected.
Okay, well, I thought it was part of Legacies. Yeah. I thought it was all...
It wasn't advertised as such. Their advertising was all over the place on that. Didn't make any sense.
Right. Throw that in disappointments of 2017.
All right.
So rolling down disappointment alley.
Marvel yet to find their groove back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Need to send them on a nice vacation.
Let's hope 2018 is different for Marvel. Chris, do you have any top stories from 2017?
I was curious if we knew how many times we mentioned Berger and Bond, because I think we did it a lot. Remember,
I feel like we did
Bond.
It maybe twice this year.
I felt like it was a lot more because we were talking. So, Shelley Bond and
Karen Berger
and Karen Berger.
Yeah.
So ex Vertigo alumni.
Yeah,
alumnis.
Alumni.
And
I am in no position to correct anybody's pronunciation.
You were going over. One was going to IDW.
Yes,
yeah.
Bond went to IDW.
Yeah,
and Berger went to Dark Horse.
And went to Dark Horse.
So I feel in my mind, I feel like we mentioned it half a dozen times or more.
Right.
And at this point, the Bond books have started, and Cole was not happy with a little bit of it.
I was crabby about their, you know, preview
the
anthology.
Quarterly book thing.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't even review it. I just, you know, sat on my grump chair and grumped really loud and moved on.
You harumphed.
I harumphed. I harumphed pretty hard.
And not a single one of the Burger books have really come out. Those are all going to be like 2018. I just felt we talked about it a lot. So I was like, that was important.
And then I saw that anthology thing came out. And I'm like, you know, I think I said to Miss Bond over the air, seriously question about whether I'm going to buy your books.
Right.
And I agree. It probably should have been like a free preview or something like flopsy paper or something like that instead of the nice hard cardstock.
But, you know, but I am thinking, I'm looking at like what has happened with the newer Vertigo and how underwhelmed I am with that.
Right.
And do we try to reinvent the wheel with that? Because gosh darn it, I miss the Swamp Thing of that era and Sandman and all those kind of books.
I think we get a new vehicle.
Yeah, we get a new vehicle. Yeah. I agree with you.
All right. Do we have any other top stories that stick out to us?
Well, there's personal top story that Chris and Nicole got way into manga this year. I don't know that you know that. Yeah. Some of you listeners might know because Chris has reviewed some things. I've been keeping my preciouses to myself. But that's been really great. Like, if you're feeling a burnout, sometimes going to a totally different type of comic in a totally different country might be the refreshing thing you need. Mm-hmm. There's also some great European things that you'll see when we do our top fives.
Yeah.
As well. So so that's a good personal thing. Mm-hmm.
This was a really good year for imports.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Good. Bendis was probably one of the more groundbreaking pieces of news.
Going over to DC.
Going to DC.
Right.
That's, you know, we won't feel repercussions for that for a little while, but it's going to be an interesting thing because he's been an architect over at Marvel for many years.
Yes.
And is responsible for a lot of things in media that people care about now, like Jessica Jones and Miles Morales, who's going to get a animated movie at Christmas 2018. So he got a while.
Well, they got to animate it.
Yep. But maybe our next Spider-Man after Homecoming will have a Miles in it because they did a little.
Yeah,
little
they mentioned him.
They did tease it. Yeah.
They did. So, yeah, Bendis, I thought, was one of the bigger pieces of news.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
Pretty fresh, though, and my goldfish memory went to that first.
It was also a big year, not just in the comics world, but everywhere. The Me Too movement sort of have routed out the men who have been...
hidden for too long in
abuse their power.
Superman wing.
They have been
misconducting themselves, and that did hit the comics world. We had a couple editors ousted, and we had Gal Gadot basically put her foot down and say she will not return as Wonder Woman unless Warner Brothers severs ties with Brett Ratner, which I believe they have done.
Yep.
Because money.
Because money. Because I think audiences are more likely to go see a Gal Gadot Wonder Woman movie than a Brett Ratner Wonder Woman movie. You know, nobody knows, you know, who Brett Ratner is unless you talk about and read about these things.
Yeah.
So another thing that happened was we lost one of our own Xanadu clothes just recently here in Seattle.
Technically, they close at the end of January.
Right. Well, they have announced their closing. They're not closed yet. If this episode does come to you on December 25th, if you are still scrambling for comics, come to Comics Dungeon and buy your comics here, or go to Xanadu downtown and help them clear out their remaining
stock.
They
have a huge sale, so it's definitely worth checking them out and help, you know, just... checking them out and saying goodbye and helping them unload that inventory because that's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have any other top stories from 2017?
I was going to say we had two incredibly successful live panel jumper shows.
This is true.
Chapters 4 and 5. And then we also had two incredibly well-produced web episodes.
That's also true.
I'm a very neurotic little cuss of a person. I don't know if you know this, but I sit there on my phone, and every 20 minutes, all day long. I go to YouTube and I check the hits on all our little movies. And it's just really lovely to go and take a deep breath and look at all that we've accomplished in the short films that we've made about the history of comics. And I just sort of marvel at that we've actually have continued to have people say yes to not only taking part in them, but watching them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that sort of thing. So that was... Those are two big stories. I want to acknowledge the passing of Bernie Wrightson,
right?
Which was very sad for me, and I think about a lot, simply because for many reasons, but also because he was working on what I do believe was his magnum opus that he will never be able to complete, which is truly tragic to me.
Yeah,
we have an issue 4 coming out next year.
We do.
It is finished.
It is finished.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so things to look forward to in 2018. We just made a new segment. There you go.
Are you...
Frankenstein Alive, number 4.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They're going to re-release the first 3 issues as one fat edition, and then they're going to release number 4, which I kind of wish they just put it all together at the end. I don't know.
Yeah. Is it... Yeah. I mean, it's not going to complete the story, is it?
Well, we don't know.
Oh, wow.
We'll find out when it comes out, but we do have one more issue that we didn't think we would see.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
I had no idea. Wow.
We bring it to you from the source of the comic store. Support your local comic book store.
Marvelous news. Okay.
Is there, now that we're on that train, is there anything else that we're looking forward to in 2018?
Battle Angel Alita.
Yep. Yes. Battle Angel Alita will be out July 2018. Yep.
And volume 2 of the hardcover will be out like a couple days after my birthday. Like February 28th or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen? When is Mark Russell's Snagglepuss coming out?
Oh, that's like within 2 months.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was supposed to be out in September, I think, originally.
Okay, that is one of those that I've been waiting on for a while.
I don't know.
More manga?
Oh, yeah, of course. So much
always
manga.
More manga.
So much manga.
2 Year Eternity, Volume 3, will be out next year, I think.
Yes, that'd be good, yes. I haven't looked that forward to 2018. I kind of have blinders. I only see the week ahead of me.
None of us actually thought 2018 would happen.
We're still gripping on the railing of the roller coaster of 2017. Yeah.
The Oni Press graphic novel, My Boyfriend is a Bear, will be out.
Ooh, yeah.
And that's going to be delightful.
Don't introduce him to Shirtless Bear Fighter.
Oh. Yeah, that's going to be bad.
Ooh, crossover.
Yeah.
There you go.
But it actually looks like a cute little like rom-com thing with an actual bear.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Very cute. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Any other surprises or disappointments for 2017? How did Rebirth do? That was introduced in 2016, wasn't it?
But it was
carried over.
But it finally just kind of finished.
Yeah.
It overall did well. It did what it needed to do and make people care about Superman again. And
because it treated him well this time.
Exactly. it didn't completely fix or do away with the new 52's crappiness, but it got us on the right track. And thankfully, we had a 2017 where both companies didn't suck completely.
All right.
You know, so, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
One other thing, bit of news that I culled from the last year is something you don't see often in the world of entertainment, where an actor excused themselves from a role, but Ed Skrein left Hellboy because he realized that the character he was cast was a person of color, and so good on Ed.
Yes, and it's I think we mentioned it in the podcast when we were talking about that, but it's if you can afford to do that,
it's nice.
Then it's really nice.
Yeah.
But you also have to consider these are jobs that pay people's bills and stuff, and sometimes it's hard to make ethical choices.
But Ed Skrein's getting that Battle Angel Alita money, so he's all good.
He's
so
fine.
He made
he's
a good
fine.
Decision.
He's fine. He's fine.
Yeah, he was able to do that.
All right. And Cole brought it up, but Bernie Wrightson did pass away on March 18th, and I just want to acknowledge some other notables that we've lost. Len Wein, also of the Muckman variety, left us in September. Carrie Fisher passed away December of 2016, but we're still feeling the ramifications. It still feels very, very fresh. And oddly enough, her mother passed away. Debbie Reynolds passed away like 2 days later, which was weird. We lost Adam West and George A. Romero and also Harry Dean Stanton.
Which is funny because recently I was wondering if he was still alive, and then he showed up in like Twin Peaks and a couple other things, and we're like,
really?
He's still alive! And then he dies this year, and we're like, damn.
Yeah.
We just realized you were still alive.
All right, so let's move on to our top comics for 2017. I asked our panel here to give me their top five. So, Cole Hornaday, what are your top five comics for 2017?
Well, you could probably, having listened to me babble on for the last 52 weeks, you can probably guess, but most definitely my top five comics were The Flintstones by Mark Russell and Steve Pugh, 12 issues that concluded in June. My other favorite is Black Hammer from Dark Horse with Jeff Lemire and Steve Ormston and Dave Stewart on the art. And that's an ongoing series that I cannot recommend highly enough. It brushes up against being a pastiche and yet brings something new and vital and really fresh and poetic to the superhero story. Ta-Nehisi Coates' Black Panther still pleases me and still excites me of what it does and the potential. And it spawned several other series that may not have throb with the same vigor that the core series does, but that doesn't matter because we're getting such wonderful diversity of voices and storytelling. And one of the things I love about the Black Panther series is that every arc is a different artist. You know, we just wrapped up the Chris Sprouse illustration contribution, then we're on to Leonard Kirk and the new arc. A mini-series that I thoroughly enjoyed was The Visitor, How and Why He Stayed from Dark Horse by Mike Mignola and Chris Robertson. And this was an artist, Paul Grist. And this was a background character from very early Hellboy stories. And we get to hear this, and we've seen this type of visitor from another planet story before, Martian Manhunter and the Man Who Fell to Earth and aliens who try to join our culture yet observed at the same time, hiding the alien amongst us. But this was particularly charming, probably because it was such a minimalist type of storytelling, thanks to the art of Paul Grist, who, if you've never read Mr. Grist's work, like Jack Staff,
Kane,
I highly recommend it. Lastly, the future is very bright in my little comic book reality because I am adoring the Mr. Miracle series by Tom King and Ms. Gerads, and I believe it's a limited series. And as I was telling Chris before we started recording tonight, I will be very, very sad. I'm already sad over the idea that this series may be over at some point because it brings me so much joy and revitalizes so many of the Kirby characters and properties in a way that I think the King would have approved.
But be happy there will be a complete story.
It will be, well, you know, and so was Flintstones, and I was crabby when that was over, but, you know, yeah, and maybe that's for the best. Maybe it's, you know, because it doesn't get watered down, doesn't get diluted.
Right.
Exactly. It has an arc. Yeah.
So you would say Flintstones was your number one this year?
Yeah.
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 You think so? He's reviewed it five times in the last 2 years.
Every single issue.
We can just put it to bed now.
I'm stopping talking about this.
And then it'll be Snagglepuss for 2018.
I can't wait for Snagglepuss, you guys.
I can't either. That looks.
I think that's going to be an interesting one. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it as well.
All right, Nicole, what are your top five?
So mine, I inadvertently made like an award show, like, you know, best single of the month. I didn't mean to do that, but.
Lay it on us.
So I'm putting aside things like Ms. Marvel, Black Panther, Giant Days, Lumberjanes, because I love all those. They're consistent. They have tons of volumes. They're great. You should buy them. So these are different things that I wanted to showcase. So best manga this year is To Your Eternity, Volume 1. It's by Yoshitoki Oima. She did the series A Silent Voice, a seven-volume series that's gorgeous, and I'll probably review it either today or the next week. Pantheon is my favorite, like self-contained. It's the true story of the Egyptian deities by Hamish Steele. It's published by Nobrow, and it's delightful and kind of crass. And it gives you a history of Egypt mythology, which I didn't know. So I also learned something.
Cool.
Super Sons is my best super story so far. It's just great. Jonathan, who is Superman's son, and Damian, who's Batman's son, have to team up, and they don't like each other, and it's just wonderful and refreshing and fun. My best mini series that I really loved was the Gem Misfits series that focused on the Misfits, the band, after they had this bad falling out and didn't have a record deal anymore, and they went on a reality TV show, and it highlights each one of the members, and there's some amazing writing in that and characterization. And my favorite single that just made my head explode this year is Black Monday Murders number 7. I loved that. I love that series. I think it was on my 2016. But I think that volume 2 that's going to be out soon-ish has one of my favorite issues. That's that reveals, and but not too much revealing because it's Hickman and he's got a long scripting. So yeah, so that is my top 5s.
Cool. That last one's impressive considering the amount of joy I could feel radiating from the room when the Super Sons annual came out.
I know. Which is all about the super pets. It's puppies and kitties, and they just meow and brew, brew.
And Bat Cow. So,
it's yeah. true. But since it's my...
Oh, wait, Bat Cow was in it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And guess what? She stops another car. What?
Yeah.
Because she's awesome. She don't need a cape. Mm-hmm.
So what would you say was your top one for 2017?
I probably have to say... Yoshitoki Oima's To Your Eternity, because I love her work so much, and this has such an emotional depth. It has fantasy as the genre, which works so well and gives me a lot of fresh takes in storytelling that I don't see in other things, that I have to give her all of the credit.
All right, yeah. Cool. Thank you, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Cassell, what are your top 5?
So, not in any type of order, and I was just trying to figure out the things that gave me the most joy. I will say that I am avoiding mentioning Transformers, but a Transformers comic is the only comic in the past couple years that got an audible gasp from me, and there were witnesses.
Yes.
Like, from across the room, I was like...
Yes!
I think
that
we mentioned
really happened.
That, yeah.
Yes. I can contest to that. It's amazing.
Yes. Delicious in the Dungeon is one of my favorite books, hands down. It's about a group of dungeon explorers that decide that even though they can't afford to go into the dungeon to get food, they'll just kill everything and eat it on the way down. So it's a cooking book
yes.
about killing and eating horrible monsters.
It's delightful.
It plays on nice. All the tropes of fantasy, and it's got great art, great characters. It's just a great book. Kaiju Max is, it destroys me every time, and I enjoy that. It is the most emotionally impactful comic I read every time it comes out. And it's so hard to read sometimes.
It
it's great.
A new way to break you, too, I feel.
Every
like
time.
Every few times. Yeah.
Oh, every time.
What volume are we up to?
We're in season 3, okay. So 2 trade paperbacks are out.
I think I've read the first 2, and you are absolutely right. It's when comic books are... powerful, powerful metaphor for real things.
Oh yeah,
yes.
I just figured out who the white power guys were in the monsters.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's great. Next is of course Battle Angel Alita. It's a cheat, but it is printed this year. It's a new printing, and it makes me so happy because I could finally make other people read it, and I mean make because I force them to.
And it's a new translation, so I said that it gets a pass. Because it's just slightly different.
Yeah. Well, it's weird how different a translation can make a comic.
Mm-hmm.
Because you mentioned something, and I was like, that doesn't sound like what I know.
Right.
And then I reread it, and the context of what a character completely changed because the translation changed. It went from somebody saying, like, I enjoy doing this bounty hunter job because it gives me an adrenaline rush, to I like to murder people.
Yeah.
It's a very
I
significant
enjoy
change.
Killing. Yes.
So it's like, oh, okay. And then the next book is I'm going to mirror Nicole. This is my first exposure to Yoshitoki Oima. To Your Eternity was just a fascinating read. And I will do a review for it on our next episode. So I'll get deeper into it. But I love the art style in it. And it's just an interesting, weird idea.
Yeah.
And I'm all about new ideas right now, which leads me to, I think, what will be my most favorite book
yes.
of the year, and it sneaks in because it just arrived last week. It is Satania by Velman and Karoskot. I'm going to assume I didn't butcher those too much.
It looks good to me.
And these are the people who brought us Beautiful Darkness.
Yep. And it's a fascinating book about this young girl named Charlie who convinces a bunch of people to go deep into a cave system under a mountain to try and find her lost brother. And her brother had a theory that demons, devils, were actually an offshoot evolution of humans. And and they developed their horns so they wouldn't hurt their heads on the on the caves when, you know, on low hanging stalagmites, whatever. And they developed the fur on their legs so that they can deal with the heat and all that stuff. And so they get lost and they discover all these weird, like there's a hidden civilization down there called Ultima Thule, and then they start getting into this weird environment that looks like hell. It's like utterly crazy, weird looking monsters.
But it's also like so alien, like you almost get transported to another planet.
Yeah,
too,
yeah. And their artwork is beautiful. The use of colors, the palette. I believe this is watercolors, but I don't really know that. And
I was looking at it, looked like pen and ink and watercolor wash.
Could be an interesting mix, yeah. So there's, other than just cool monsters, there's really interesting, cool ideas, and it's just a completely unique book to come out at the end of the year here. It's $24.99. It's a very nicely done hardcover from NBM.
It's oversized. How many pages do you know?
I don't know.
Numbered.
I just realized this was going to be the book I reviewed today, and I just reviewed it.
Chris, is this your book report?
Yeah, so you can just skip me.
I think you just knocked out your book report here.
Yeah. If you need to fill time, I have more books here. But
seriously, if it does sound interesting to you guys, dear listeners, please order it, and I don't think you'll be disappointed. It's a really awesome book. I'm about 2/3 of the way through, and I really would like to just leave this podcast right now and go home and finish reading it. That's how much I love it. That's the only reason it's not on my top five is because I haven't finished it.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. I made everybody else pick a number one. What's your number one for 2017?
Oh, that was it. Yeah. That was it. That was it.
Cool.
Yeah.
And let's move on to Book Report. Thank you, Chris and Cole. Let's move on to you. What do you want to tell us?
Well, a couple, I guess it's going to be a couple months ago now, I attended the Short Run Festival with a sizable wad of cash in my pocket. And I went around and talked to a lot of artists. And my friend Kurt Ankeny, who wrote the graphic novel In Pieces, A Place to Call My Own, which I call my own, had a table next to the gentleman named C.M. Butzer. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, Butzer. And he wrote and illustrated this book called Gettysburg. And it's, it was originally published in 2009. And it's the story of the Battle of Gettysburg, the aftermath, and then the Gettysburg Address. And it's his illustrations are beautiful. They're done in he actually, frankly, reminds me a little bit of David Lasky. It's black and white with blue and gray washes. We visit the climax of the Battle of Gettysburg and the aftermath, and the unfathomable amount of loss of life and the bodies, and we visit the medical stations, and then we have a little dramatization of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, and then there's these lovely panels. Hopefully it's not going to ruin too much, but there are these lovely panels that are all the same, showing people from different eras, from the abolitionists to union workers to Native Americans protesting Wounded Knee to the women's suffragette movement to the protesting Jim Crow and the Mexican-American Migrant Workers Union with the language of the Gettysburg Address running underneath it. And then at the end, he's got some end notes of the research he did for individual pages. The Civil War as a kid, when I studied it in history class, always kind of confused me because, you know, we're told that this is why it happened. This is what it was about. This is what, you know, and growing up in the North, we are told a different story than what they are told in the South. And this is a really, truly wonderful book that I think should be taught in classrooms. I don't know if it's still in print, but it's done with a balance and a compassion with history that I don't think we see a lot. And I think right now we need to look at pretty closely. And I do recommend it if you can find it. Gettysburg by C.M. Butzer.
Great. Thank you very much, Cole.
You betcha.
All right. And finally, Nicole, what do you got for us?
You mean you don't want to review your book again, Chris?
Yes.
So I've been waiting to review this until I finished it, and it is The A Silent Voice by Yoshitoki Oima. And this came out back in 2015, I believe, and ran 7 volumes. it focuses on Shoya, who is a bully. And this is in middle school time, a young girl named Shoko, who can't hear very well. She comes into the elementary school and she's very sweet and very shy. But she's like, hopefully we can all become friends. And Shoya, who's like kind of a bored kid, and he likes to like jump off of bridges for thrill seeking. And he hangs out with a couple of other guys and they just sort of, you know, are just being rambunctious kids. He decides that Shoko is going to be the one that he puts all of his energy into, and that energy is in bullying her. Mm. He is relentless, and the other kids start taking on the same thing, and they like laugh, and they are part of it as well, and it gets really intense and really bad to the point where Shoko has to leave the school. Shoya at one point breaks her hearing aids multiple times and costs them like $17,000 or something like that, which I don't remember if that's in yen or if in American sure. now at this point. But anyway, it's a lot of money. And he gets singled out for the bullying, and everybody starts alienating him, leaving him alone or bullying him. And years go by, they're finishing up high school, and he decides to go try to find Shoko and try to amend what he did, because his life has been ruined and he's realized that he's done something so terrible that he was ready to go and, take his own life. And instead he decides that, you know, his life is going to be, you know, treating Shoko with kindness and trying to redeem himself, even though he feels he can never quite be redeemed. And you start seeing the aftermath of everything. What's going on with Shoko? What's going on with Shoya? There's a whole bunch of new friendships that are developed with a bunch of interesting characters, focusing on just how people are in the world, how they interact with each other. Can you redeem yourself? And a lot of times Shoya is just shutting everybody out, and people who he doesn't associate with have X's over their faces. And that's how he depicts people he just doesn't want to give the time of day to. Mm. But he's been so humbled by these events. And it's just an amazing, heartfelt, deeply emotional series that almost makes me want to cry right now. That I cannot recommend enough.
Okay.
And the only thing that I would say is it's something I would love to have in like middle school or something like that, have available to kids. But there is, there's cursing, I think, in somewhere in the halfway point. And I kind of wish that just wasn't even there, because it's so intense by itself. And it could be really interesting on its own, but you immediately shut things down when you put certain language in things and when you depict certain things. And I think that this could have really benefited by omitting that and still would have had a really amazing message. So this has been offered in a box set. It's not super available through our Diamond distributor, but it's probably more available through other means. And if you have like a local library, that's something to definitely hit up to try to check it out. And if you like it, please share it, because I love Yoshitoki's work. She's my current favorite person, and may stay that way for a long time, because I'm ready to reread the series, even though I finished it.
I see the Eisner symbol on it.
It was an Eisner nominated.
Nominated, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. It's really powerful. It's really moving. I read the last volume while listening to like a classical radio station, and this like intense classical music's coming on, and there's like a tiny little tear rolling up in my eye. It's a really beautiful book, and I really do recommend checking it out. 7 volumes completed, really beautiful, tight artwork too. I love the panel work and the line work. It's something that drew you in, Chris, to reading To Your Eternity, which is a totally different genre, because this is very, very character driven, everyday kind of stuff. Right. Really great. A Silent Voice. Please check it out. Please support her work so that all of her work can come to me soon.
Well, thank you, Nicole. That was great. And that is Book Report for 2017. And I don't think I did one this year. Maybe I did one or two. So I will have a New Year's resolution to read more comics. I actually, as I mentioned in the last episode, I bought a bunch of comics as Christmas gifts. And as I was thinking about it, I'm like, I'm not going to have that much time to read them before I give them away as gifts. Mm-hmm. But so I'm going to have to cruise through those. And I promise to be more involved in the Book Report segment moving forward. But let's... but that is our show. Thank you, everybody. And coming up is quiz time. But before we go, I want to tell you that the Perfect Bound podcast is brought to you by The Panel Jumper. See everything Cole Hornaday and I do at thepaneljumper.com. And Comics Dungeon here at 319 Northeast 45th Street in beautiful downtown Wallingford, or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at comicsdungeon.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or however you get your podcasts at perfectboundpodcast.com. Send us an email at perfectmountpodcast@gmail.com. And now, friends, get your quiz hats on. It's quiz time. This week, the questions come to us from me. Yay. Again.
Yay!
Today is December 25th. Whether you do or do not celebrate Christmas, today is probably pretty stressful either way. I'm going to ask you some questions about that Yuletide superhero who visits houses around the world on this very night. Friends, to all long-suffering parents, that's right, I'm talking about Krampus.
Yay, Krampus!
And to make this quiz time less stressful for all of us, the answer to each question is Krampus. Please raise your hand to answer. Number one. While Santa, in Western folklore at least, is a jolly fat elf who rewards good-behaving children with gifts, this half-goat, half-demon wanders the European alpine countryside, punishing children who have misbehaved. Chris.
What is a Krampus?
It is Krampus. All right, number two.
I think it's just Krampus.
Oh.
Yeah.
In parts of... I'm not going to deduct points for playing by Jeopardy rules. Number two. In parts of Europe, the Feast of St. Nicholas is celebrated on December 6th. The night before, they celebrate Krampusnacht, or the night of blank.
Krampus.
It is Krampus. Thank you, Cole.
You didn't raise your hand.
No. Yes, please raise your hand.
See?
Number three.
Ben can see.
I can see. I can see all.
And so can Santa.
This 2015 film starring Adam Scott and Toni Collette, described as Christmas horror, was never screened for critics before release. A sure sign of a masterpiece.
Yes.
Anybody?
Krampus.
Chris raised his hand.
Sorry.
I really like that one.
I had higher hopes than what it was.
My husband and I have probably already watched it at this point because we were thinking, what about a nice horror movie for Christmas? Yeah.
I hadn't heard of it, but after reading about it, I'm like, I might want to watch that.
Yeah.
All right, number four.
Chris and I have seen it. Are we the only people at the table seeing it?
I guess so. Okay. Yeah. Right.
In the season one finale of The Venture Brothers, the Ventures have a Christmas party, which is soon crashed by this demon, who subsequently punishes Dr. Venture before getting beaten up by a Santa suit wearing Brock Sampson. Chris again.
Krampus.
It is Krampus. And finally, number five. I'm calling on him because he's raising his hand. And finally, number five. This Image title by Brian Joynes and Dean Kotz was originally released on December 11, 2013. Its title character described as Snake Plissken by way of the Grinch. Anybody? Nicole.
Krampus?
It is Krampus. All right. Well, thank you, friends. That is our show. And that is 2017. Oh. And we will see you next year.
Bye.
Good riddance.